Thank you for staying. Here's our first speaker. I've never seen a 5-minute rapid fire presentation before, but go for it.
Thank you for that introduction. So I'm just going to get to it. What explains local adaptation in maize? I would have added land race, but they said only 6 words for the title. So I'm talking about maize land races, Mexican maize land races to be specific. And we had a lot of talk. I'm sure you're familiar with maize land race or with land races, but this graphic here from Yamasaki et al. Shows that land races are typically considered to be more genetically diverse than our modern inbreds. So this work was specifically in Chiapas, southern Mexico, the southernmost state, and was conducted at 3 common gardens along an elevation gradient. So those stars are the common garden locations. And actually these little dots, if you can see them here, represent where the collections were collected to fill these common gardens with 12 different populations across this elevation gradient. So there were 3 different populations from, 4 different populations from the highlands, 4 from the midlands, 4 from the lowlands, and then they were each planted reciprocally at each of these gardens across this elevation gradient, which was also a temperature gradient. So we can see that there are the cool highlands, the warm midlands, and the hot lowlands. And once those gardens were planted, I did some destructive harvests over a number of years to calculate relative growth rate from the dry above ground biomass. I also conducted infrared gas analysis in one of those years. So data from that is shown here. It's the stomatal conductance data that I was collecting on mature sun leaves in all of these garden locations, which you can see on the y-axis, we have the elevations of each of the common gardens. And then each of these lines represents one of these elevational types, these 4 population groupings that constitute a highland type or a lowland type. So what we can see is that the highland type, at the highland garden, we're seeing differentiation for this trait, for stomatal conductance, which is a basic physiological gas exchange trait. But we can also see at the lower elevations that the expression of this trait is much more constrained to a particular level, and that those stomates are closing up a little bit more at that location. Looking on to the relative growth rate, I did 2 years of this particular metric, and we can see that there's a decreasing relative growth rate with increasing elevation pretty much across all types. If it's a rapid talk, so you probably didn't notice this, but in 2012, there's much higher relative growth rates as a result of a difference of the sampling interval. But you can see that the trend stays the same across years. And then getting to what farmers actually care about, some measure of yield. We're using seed weights here. In 2011, there were in the Midland and the Highland gardens, the local type performs best. And then in 2012, we saw the Midland and the Lowland types performing best, which we would consider evidence for local adaptation in these types. But also direct your attention to these in both years, the way that the Highland types are performing much poorer outside of their Highland environments indicates that they're maybe sensitive to changes in temperature. Of course, there's year-to-year variability that we can see in these data. So just some takeaways and conclusions here. The Highland types, this work is showing that they're more vulnerable to the temperatures that we're expecting with climate change. That's been confirmed by some other researchers. One of the things that I'm still working on is that, the relative growth rate and these basic gas exchange traits, they don't really explain fully the adaptive and plastic fitness responses And so I suspect that respiratory carbon loss from heat stress is an explanatory variable. In terms of a recommendation to adapt, Highland farmers may have to obtain seed beyond their current seed exchange networks. That's 5 minutes. Thanks.